Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
People in rural Ireland are very quick to tell people in urban Ireland that, you know, we're the real workers, we're the ones paying all the bills, we're the ones feeding the country. I think maybe we need to be a little bit more blunt in urban Ireland and say, actually, that's not the case. We're the ones paying all the bills, and you're the ones who are in receipt of a lot of subsidies and a lot of tax benefits that other people don't get. And maybe we need to sit around the table and have an honest discussion about some of that kind of stuff.
So that's former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. He appeared on the Path to Power podcast with Matt Cooper. And there's been some controversy. He's come under fire for the comments he made. And it was part, I should say now, of a much longer podcast as well, dissecting the events of last week and the fuel protest. But there's been a lot of people talking about this, and particularly, I suppose, those remarks regarding farmer subsidies. We want to talk to people about this today. Owen is with me on the line. Owen, you are a young farmer. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, look, thanks for having me on again, lads. It's just a bit, it's annoying, like, to be honest. I suppose it's, a lot of people feel the same, especially after the protests and stuff. He pushed back the idea that was voiced really in the protest, that rural workers and farmers are the main kind of drivers, saying he said that's not the case, like, you know what I mean? But it's a bit disappointing to hear that, like, he doesn't have a clue what's going on behind the scenes, like, you know. I from what I know anyway, he doesn't come from a rural Ireland background, like, he wouldn't know what goes on.
Well, I actually heard him talking about, I listened to the podcast in its entirety actually, and he talked about kind of being nearly one step removed, that he has family connections to farmers, but I think it's nearly kind of maybe irrelevant to some extent. He's former leader of the country, so
yeah.
So you were disappointed when you heard that, as somebody young person working in the industry?
I was, sure, like, look, whatever about that, but you know, they're not giving us any leeway either. You know, young farmers, like, it's just not feasible, or it just won't happen. Like, you know what I mean? And he's saying about these benefits and stuff. That's not going on at all. Like, in, look at inheritance tax. Like, that's crazy amount of money. You know, for any young fella like that wants to inherit a farm. You know what I mean? If a neighbour's leaving your land or whatever, you have to pay a serious amount of inheritance tax. And how is a fella 25 years of age meant to come up with that kind of money, you know, when you're trying to raise a family and stuff? It's just not possible, like, you know. And we do pay for it. Like, we do pay for it. Like, some places, they have, like, most, I'm pretty sure, we're paying for water at home, like, you know. We're paying for water at home, and it's just, like, to say that we are not paying for that we're actually costing them, and that it costs the state money to the subsidies and the environmental impacts, like, that's nonsense, you know what I mean? It's not really fair on us to say that, you know, when we work very hard. Like, look at lads there coming up to calving season, that they're working all around the clock, and he's above on his 9 to 5, whatever he does. Like, he can't, like you were just saying there, and it is relevant, to be fair, it is relevant to say that he has a farm background. If he does, that's an absolute disgrace what he said then, because he hasn't a clue. You know, these people, farming, there's no money in it unless you love it. Like, and every farmer will tell you it's a gamble. And I said this last week. I put up a post about it. I said this last week, that farming is a gamble. It's weather dependent. Like, do you know what I mean? Contractors, they can't be out in the lashing rain cutting silage. They have to get a good day for it. That's the day they're making money. What happens if you get rain for 2 weeks? You're not making money for 2 weeks. You're sitting at home fixing machines, whatever. You're still working, like, but you're not out what you're meant to be doing. You know what I mean? It's a weather dependent job. You know, it's grand for someone to say, it's grand for me to say it to you, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. If you're not doing the job, it's hard. No, I do appreciate that. And I thought maybe when he talked about, you know, the subsidies that farmers in receipt of it, I presume maybe that he meant cap payments or you know, the measures that were announced in the budget last year. Stay with me, Owen, for a moment. I've Eddie Punch is with us on the line. It's 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Eddie, you're the former General Secretary of the ICSA. You're now columnist as well for the Farming Independent. What was your reaction when you heard the podcast?
Yeah, Andrea, I thought it was a shocking intervention by the former Taoiseach. When I was with ICSA and when he first became Taoiseach, he invited me and other of the farm leaders in to meet him in government buildings. And that was the first of several meetings during his time, where he always gave us the impression that he had our backs, that he was interested and concerned with us as a sector and as an important part, not the only part of the economy, but an important part. And to now see him saying that we're effectively a cost or a burden on society, on the economy, I thought it was a shocking intervention. I think it must have been shocking for the Fine Gael TDs who, you know, would have thought that their party was supportive of rural Ireland, and this is actually what they stand for, it would seem. Ciarán O'Donnell was on television last night, was asked to comment on it, and he deflected, didn't answer the question. And you see, the
he's no longer part of government. I mean, we can't really say that he's speaking on behalf of other Fine Gael TDs or ministers.
But he was the leader for a good number of years. And like, I suppose to deal with what he said, the problem is that his facts aren't even, you know, remotely fair or correct. So he talks about the subsidies that farmers get. Well, actually, the farming sector benefits from the Common Agricultural Policy. Mm. That's true. And that's worth about $2 billion a year coming into this country to the farming sector. But most, three quarters of that is actually funded out of the Brussels pot, and the rest is funded by the Exchequer. And you see, Ireland is a net contributor to the EU. But if we didn't have a farming sector, or if we had a smaller farming sector than we have now, we wouldn't be able to draw down that funding. So it's not a get, even though we're a net contributor to the EU, we have to have farmers to get some of that money back. So it's not really costing the taxpayer money here directly in any sense or shape. The second point about it is that the cap is actually about cheap food for consumers. That was the original founding reason for it, to make sure we had a viable agriculture right across the European Union, to make sure that food was available at a reasonable price for consumers. If we got rid of all of those cap supports, the inevitable consequence of that would be less food and more expensive food. And, you know, people talk about protests last week over the fuel price. If you had a portion of the population who couldn't even afford food, then you'd have riots in the street.
Yeah, but even, but it is funny, though, despite, you know, the fact that we are such a, you know, a huge exporter of dairy and meat, don't we still import the guts of about 80% of all of our fruit and veg as well? We aren't fully sustainable in terms of our food produce.
Yeah, fruit and veg. And you see, we've been part of a common agricultural policy since we joined the EU in 1973. And the, I suppose the basic principle of that is that we're all in this together in the European Union. So various countries specialise in what they're good at. So Spain and the Netherlands in particular have spent a lot of money in fruit and veg, and they have a lot of glasshouses. And so that's their speciality now. And our speciality is we can grow grass, so therefore we do well in dairy and beef exports. And that, generally speaking, that kind of trade within the European Union is hugely beneficial to European consumers because it gives them the best of all worlds.
Okay.
And then the other point, of course, is, yeah, we do export some food from outside of the European Union, and some of that is controversial down to EU policy. But some of it is products like coffee, tea, wine, all of that is included in those figures you've mentioned.
Okay, let me just give you a flavour, Eddie, right, of some of the text so far, and a couple of other callers here that I want to chat to as well about this. Ronan is in East Galway. Ronan says, fair play to Leo Varadkar. I live in rural Ireland and farmers get everything. They're born with, often born with money in terms of the farm that they come from, the acres, etc. There's a very small percentage of our population can understand stopping the country when they want, like what happened last week. It is about time somebody stood for the majority. John Mullingar says, I'm a full-time farmer, and to be honest, Leo was telling the truth, and often the truth hurts. The reality is that a lot of young people don't see a future in farming, and the good news is that there are a lot of opportunities out there to diversify or get off and get away from the farm jobs, according to John Mullingar. Let me bring in economist, independent economist Jim Power is with us here on the line today, because Jim, Eddie there took issue with some of the facts that Leo Varadkar was talking about. You might take us through some of the economic facts regarding the urban-rural divide.
Okay, I should point out that Leo's mother is from a farming background outside Dungarvan, exactly the same as myself, okay? So I think it's worth correcting that.
Just to be clear.
I do come from a farming background living in Dublin. I think Leo's overall argument was way too simplistic. You know, there's no doubt about that. And obviously, he was trying to grab controversy and grab headlines. And I think there's truth on both sides of this. I mean, one thing that seriously pissed me off last week, I have to say, was the protesters arguing that we are the real workers. We're the ones paying the bills. We're the ones feeding the country. I mean, they did not speak for all real workers. I'm a real worker. There's a lot of us out there doing different things. Rural Ireland is not just agriculture-based, as Leo sort of suggested. Foreign direct investment is important. Tourism is important. Retail is important. Construction and lots of other small businesses spread across rural Ireland. In terms of the substantive issue about, you know, taxes out of urban areas, and I presume he was talking about Dublin in the main.
Well, that's what I would have thought he was kind of talking about.
Funding the rest of the country. Well, the reality is Dublin has
a bigger population.
1.2 million people. The highest paid jobs in the country are in Dublin, you know, in the main. Okay, we have the pharma down in outside Cork and so on. But a lot of the higher paid workers. So it is inevitable, and it's the same in every country in the world, where you have the greatest population, where you have the most jobs, where you have the most businesses, that's where the taxation is going to come from, or the bulk of taxation, but not all, okay? So I think that's important. But then looking at the real issue about farmers and farming, I mean, last year, Ireland exported 19 billion in food and beverages, okay? Huge export sector, an indigenous part of the economy. And we imported about 11.4 billion. Of the 19 billion of exports, about 12.5 billion was dairy and beef. Okay, on the import side, you know, we import 83% of the fruit and veg that we consume in this country. But basically, 90% of the food we produce is exported. So Ireland is, or Irish agriculture is, a major driver of economic activity. Obviously not the only one.
No.
And that economic activity in turn generates tax revenues. And there's a lot of people still employed in agriculture, 109,000 at the end of last year. So there's two sides to this argument. I actually think Leo, as I say, was being totally simplistic. He was, I believe, just trying to grab headlines. The truth is much more nuanced. And basically what a lot of it comes back to is that, do we want everybody in the country living in urban areas, you know, having a sustainable, vibrant rural economy, socially and economically, is absolutely essential.
Jacqueline Hogg is joining us as well, Jim, if you don't mind. Jacqueline is the Rural Affairs Investigative Reporter with the Farmers Journal. I'm assuming, given everything that's happened in the last 10 days or so, Jacqueline, and the political reaction to the protests last week, the timing of these comments aren't exactly ideal.
Oh, not at all, Andrea. I mean, it's nearly like pouring petrol on the flames. And it reinforces this notion that Dublin is not listening to the rest of the country. I think Jim made a very, very powerful point there. It is too simplistic, and it's just winding people up at a time when, you know, there's been all this money and diesel's come down and there's been a package to appease people. But the anger hasn't gone away in rural Ireland. And, you know, I think too, though, you think back to when Leo Varadkar was Minister of Social Protection, he got people riled up by saying his party wanted to support people who get up early. I mean, who gets up earlier than the farmers? It all just seemed, I agree with Jim again, I think this was just said for a reaction. But the bit, I listened to the entire podcast as well, and the bit that I found most disturbing was this comparison of the urban-rural divide in Ireland, which I find ironic in a way, because, yes, the majority of the population is in Dublin, but the majority of that population has come from rural Ireland in one form or another. You know, they either went to college and stayed on, or they've moved up for jobs and opportunities. But when they're saying that, oh, we're not as bad, Leo Varadkar said, well, we're not as bad as the US or France. I mean, what kind of comment was that to be saying? Nobody wants to head down that road. But that's what's happening.
But we also don't want a rural-urban divide.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's funny and it's frustrating in equal measure. Rural Ireland does not have the same services. It does not have the same infrastructure. And yet, it has a way of life that a lot of people would prefer than ramming more and more people into a city. Like, the M50 has become a car park long before fuel protesters came out to have their voices heard. So it is, as you said, the timing is horrendous. I'm sure Simon Harris is sitting with his head in his hands going, when all the focus was on Fianna Fáil about not listening to people and not understanding the point that people were trying to make. And now Fine Gael, I appreciate he's a former Taoiseach, but he should have had more sense, in my humble opinion.
Well, just on that, Mary Regan, of course, political editor with the Irish and Sunday Independent, is joining us as well. Jacqueline, what is the political fallout, if any, to these comments, Mary?
Well, so far it's been fairly muted. I think no one in Fine Gael was willing to sort of bite so far and give, you know, further, you know, fuel to the story. But I think, you know, Simon Harris will probably not be able to avoid commenting on this. And he's commented just a short time ago, sort of playing down the comments, saying that, that there's no, people have to work together instead of against each other, and not really addressing Leo Varadkar's specific comments. But as was mentioned by Jim, like, Leo Varadkar does have farming roots. But I was looking at when he spoke about those farming roots, and he spoke about his mother coming from a family farm in Dungarvan in the area of Waterford, and how he travelled there every summer as a kid, even though he was a city boy. He made those comments, incidentally, in a couple of interviews in the run-up to the Fine Gael leadership contest, which he ultimately won. So he was really playing up his farming credentials when he wanted to be leader of the party. And I guess now that he's out of politics, he has a bit more, first of all, freedom to say what he really thinks. And second of all, he probably has an interest because he's speaking on a private commercial podcast. So he is saying something that he needs to grab headlines, essentially, or to gain attention to that podcast. So it's just kind of Leo Varadkar doing what Leo Varadkar does, saying things bluntly, dropping a grenade. But this time it's left up to his party colleagues who remain in office, who have to defend the party, to pick up all the pieces. And picking up all those pieces probably means further damage for Fine Gael in the eyes of rural constituencies and farmers. That damage was already done, you know, in the 2 weeks ago with the protests, and this is probably going to inflict further damage on some rural TDs who won't be happy with this. And, you know, Leo Varadkar is very public on his social media and what he does on Instagram. He tells us a lot about, you know, what he's getting up to in his public life and in his private life, and he was out of the country. I think he was in London when these protests were happening, you know, so he was posting, you know, about a show he was attending in London, so he wasn't really here to hear in the country to hear exactly what was going on.
He did say, though, he'd been listening, so, and, you know, and following a lot of reaction
of what he had to say, but also knowing that they're the ones who will have to pick up the pieces when they go talking to their farmer constituents in the time ahead.
The production team here are telling me, from the number of people getting in touch by way of WhatsApp messages and phone calls, even coming in, people reacting, that about 90% of people here in support of what Leo Varadkar is saying, but people who say that they don't want to come on air to say that. So I can give you a little flavour then of the messages, right? Leo was dead right. Farmers receive millions, also EU subsidies. Local farmers near me received €150,000 in 1 year on top of the milk money and calf sales. All of these then, look at the assets that a lot of the farmers have. If somebody loses their own job, if they're not in the agricultural industry, they've nothing. Farmers can sell the assets and the sites, etc. Land in Kerry selling for about 30,000 per acre. It's that valuable to them. Another listener getting in touch. I can't believe I'm saying this, but for the very first time in my life, I fully agree with Leo Varadkar on the comments he made. He's probably the only one of the politicians, actually, feels that he's in a position to say so. Another listener, I'm a full-time farmer, and to be honest, Leo was telling the truth. Often the truth hurts. The reality is that a lot of young people don't see a future in this industry. And this texter tells me, I grew up on a farm and I work for a tech company in Dublin. Leo Varadkar is right, but there is nuance. Europe has decided to subsidise the production of food to protect the supply and industry, but it does create a huge sense of entitlement and some absolutely ludicrous situations, like sheep farming, where we subsidise the ongoing ecological destruction of hillsides all over the country. Farmers are realistic and business orientated. Leo Varadkar didn't say anything that they don't already know. And I could keep going on, reading messages like this. This texter says, though, I think Leo was very, very wrong in his comments. He must know a lot of sons and daughters of farmers aren't interested in farming as a future. Does he really want to play that into that particular idea and make it even less attractive for the next generation to carry on? Very mixed opinions about this today. Keep your thoughts coming into us. You can email us, lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. For the moment, though, Mary Regan there, Jim Power, also Eddie Punch. Owen, thanks for getting in touch. Jacqueline Hogg there from the Farmers Journal.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.